This is Bhajan Rahasyam, class number 5, 2009, Kartik. And we've been discussing this verse, the seventh verse of Shikshastakam, Yugayatam Nameshena Chakshusha Pravishayatam Shunyayatam Jagatsavam Govinda Virahename. This is the verse which will unleash a flood of ecstatic experiences within the heart of the Bhava Bhakta, who has entered the threshold of Bhava Bhakti. He is a Jatarati Sadaka. He has intense attachment to the Lord, and he's starting to experience Bhava. And at this level, he can appreciate different qualities of the Lord, and especially the Braja Gopis, who are exhibiting this topmost form of Bhava, which is known as Mahabhav. And in that Mahabhav, there are different states of madness, an intense love, which becomes extremely accelerated and increased when they're separated, when Krishna's beloveds are separated from him, especially the gopis. This Mahabhav is only in the Braja Gopis, especially in Srimati Radharani. So we were hearing yesterday, there's several verses that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was citing about the type of mentality and projection that the gopis would have in this state of Mahabhav, this exalted state of divine love, where they would see the objects in Vrindavan, Krishna's flute in his hands, or the deer, or the water of the Yamuna or Manasi Ganga, and they would attribute human-like feelings and characteristics to these animals and to even lifeless objects like dry wood, Bansuri and the waters and whirlpools of the Yamuna and Manasi Ganga. And he would say, "Oh, you're so fortunate. You're like," they would talk to the deer, "Oh dear, you're so fortunate. The Mriga, the Harinya, you're able to run to Krishna. Krishna plays his flute and you run to him along with your husbands. They don't restrain you. But when Krishna plays the flute and we try to run out of the house to join him, then her husbands block the door with their hands and say, 'Where are you going? Stop, sit down. You're not going anywhere.' Can't go. There's no question of our husbands running along beside us to go meet Krishna in the forest when he calls us out on Sharad Purnima for the Rasa dance. But there's no obstacles or hindrances to the deer. So the deer are much more fortunate. In fact, we're envious of the deer. Look, Sakhi, look how those deer are looking at Krishna with their large eyes and their love-filled eyes. I'm feeling envious." So the gopis would become envious of the deer, thinking that the deer were flirting with their Krishna, that they were casting sidelong glances. Did you see that, Sakhi? That deer is casting sidelong glances at our beloved. "Oh, I can't tolerate this. This is terrible. How can we stand for this?" So this is obviously, from even the grossest level of understanding, we can perceive that this is an extraordinary exaggeration due to the intensity of their love. So that brings us to text 5, and all these verses are describing Adiruddha Madanakya Mahabhav. And this verse describes, this is of course, the Vishwanath is telling in his purport that this verse of the Venugita, Chapter 21 of 10th Canto, text 18, was spoken by Srimati Radharani. And the gopis are separated from Krishna. He's out with the cows somewhere. They're gathering in groups here and there, in Barsana or Yavat, sometimes in their mother-in-law's houses or sometimes by the Yamuna. And they're missing Krishna. And maybe in the very far distance, they hear a few notes of Krishna's flute, his Venu, while he's calling some calves or stray cows here or there. Because sound can carry very far depending on the way the wind is blowing. I remember in America, sometimes we had these convertible cars, you know, like a soft roof car. Like you have all hard roof cars, but you press a button and the whole roof goes down. It's made of some collapsing, like an umbrella type, and has a motor even. You're just driving, pressing, it goes. And it tucks in the back of these big, long American cars, about 30 feet long. And fit like 20 people in each one, Indians, let's say. So someone's in that car, and then they're playing the stereo very loud. Some interesting mantras and whatnot. Really heavy rock and roll. And so you're sitting there in some park or something, and they go by on the road, really fast. And they're about a mile away, or a 2 mile, 3 kilometers away, but the wind is blowing that way. And it's so loud, the stereo, that you can't see the car. You hear, down, 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 dum, 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 down, down, down. You hear the radio from 3 kilometers away. You can hear it. And you say, wow, that guy's really rocking out. Driving like a madman down the street or something. So sound carries a long way, especially when propelled by the wind. The wind is behind it. And what is the flute? The vaino, the flute is a wind instrument. So the wind and the flute are good friends. They make best of friends. They depend on each other. The wind becomes enchanting when it meets the flute. And the flute gets its power from its friendship with the wind. And there's no wind, the flute is quiet. But when the wind enters the flute, then the flute becomes happy and makes beautiful music. So they make a good partnership, wind and flute. When Krishna puts the air, his pran is energizing the flute, but his pancha pran is simply the pancha gopis. You know, his pancha pran, they say the pancha pran of the 5 chapters of the Rasa-lila, Rasa-panchadiya, 10th canto, chapter 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. This is called pancha pran. Pancha pran in Ayurveda refers to the 5 life airs of the body, apan, upan, or whatever. There's different ingoing, outgoing breath, and circular breath, and up and down breath. There's 5 pancha pran. So the pancha pran for Krishna are the 5 chapters of the rasa dance, because these are the 5 rasas. All the rasa dance is where all the rasas mix together. There's dasi ras, there's shanta ras, there's vatsalya, the moods and feelings of vatsalya, nourishment, and all these different things combined together in the gopis' love and the rasmandala. So these are the pancha pran. So Krishna, when he plays the flute, he puts all of his pran in the flute. It's pancha pran. So that pran, the wind of Krishna's pancha pran, is making the flute come alive. So when he plays that flute, it carries a long distance. So he may be far away, but if the wind is blowing towards the gopis' ears, it will carry that flute, and they're hearing the flute. So, oh, gopi, do you hear that? I don't hear it. No, listen, listen, listen. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's coming from there. It's coming from the east. Yes, yes. I heard from Brindadevi that Krishna went to Bandiravan with the coward boys today. And that's... Oh. Do you hear that, Sakhi? That's his flute. Then they say, Hantaya Madhura Abala Haridasa Varyo Yadrama Krishna Charana Sparsha Pramodha Manam Tanoti Sahago Gana Yosta Yoryat Paniya Suya Vasakandara Kandamule. O Sakis, this mountain, this Adrir, Hanta Adrir Abala Haridasavarya. Abala means those that aren't strong. Balaram means strong. Abal means not strong. So this is a very poetic and beautiful Sanskrit word to describe women, or the gopis, Abala. Abala means they're not strong. There's Balaram and there's Abala, the Abalas. Abala, Haridasavaryo. He's a Varyo, he's the greatest, he's the biggest. Oh, Sakis, said Radha, this mountain, Govardhan, is the crown jewel of Hari's servants. Blessed is his fortune. By the touch of the lotus feet of our Pranavallabha Krishna and Baladeva Prabhu, who is most pleasing to the eyes. Govardhan is blossoming with delight, and as a result, Giri Govardhan is supplying Krishna and Balaram crystal clear water for drinking, soft grass to lie on and to nourish the cows, wonderful caves to sleep in when it rains and when it's cold outside, and varieties of roots and fruits to eat when they're hungry. By serving Krishna and Balaram in this way, and who are surrounded by their coward boys, he highly honors them. Haridasa Varya e Giri Govardhan Ram Krishna Parasparshe Sukhe Achetan Sakadena saha krishne atitya karila paniya kandara kanda mula nivedila. It's a Bengali version of the Sanskrit given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is Vishnu's commentary, actually. The Braja Devis are embodiments of Mahabhav. They say, if anyone can be said to be a topmost devotee, it must be Giriraj. Why? How can you say? Varya means the best. Haridas Varya. Go Vardhan, Varya. Varya means to nourish, to excel. To excel, to nourish, to top someone, or the best, to be the best at something. So how is it? Well, what does it mean to be a devotee? It means to be a servant. So if you're the best devotee, that means you're the best servant. What does it mean to be the best servant? Means you do all kinds of services all the time. Means you're always serving in a variety of ways. So someone might say, "Oh, I'm also a very good devotee." Yes. How many hours do you serve? 2. How many hours do you sleep? 22. Achha. You're a very good devotee. So more time spent serving and more varieties of service obviously add up to make you a better devotee. At least hopefully, if you're also in transparent consciousness. Well, if you're in karta chitta, if you're in doer consciousness, that I am the doer, I'm doing all these services, and I'm so great devotee, then it spoils the quality of your service. But the gopis are saying, why? Because he serves in a variety of ways. He pleases our Pranavallabha and all of Krishna's friends. That's very interesting, because it's one thing to please your beloved, but it's another thing to please your beloved and to please all your beloved's friends. Like the wife may make the husband happy, but does she make all of his friends happy also? I doubt it. But in Giriraj's case, he satisfies Krishna and serves him in so many ways and makes him happy. And he also satisfies all Krishna's friends, even his cow friends. Even the cows become happy by Giriraj. And everyone becomes happy. The gopis become happy by Giriraj. The coward boys become happy. And even his bird friends, Krishna's pet birds, Krishna's pet peacock, Tundakari, and Tandavik. Tandavik, he has a pet swan and a pet peacock and a pet elephant. He has his own pet animals. And they become happy by Giriraj. And he has his Priya Bhaktas and his Priya Janas, and they all become happy. Now, this is a speciality, a Vishesh Gun of Giriraj. We don't have the strength of Krishna Prem. Therefore, we are Abala. That's very interesting. They don't have the strength of this Prem that Giriraj has. And the gopis are saying, Giriraj is a better devotee. Radharani is saying, Giriraj is a better devotee than I am. He has more Krishna Prem. He's the proprietor of Krishna Prem. Come on, Sakhi. Let's go. Let's bathe in Manasiganga and do Prikam of Giriraj. Take darshan of his presiding deity, Haridev, and worship him. Actually, it's generally said in the Shastras, and we see the example even in a gopi's lila here, in this gopi lila, that if one wants to get, of course, on Ragmarg, it doesn't matter, ultimately, or on what to speak of Bhavmarg, because again, this is a binding. What I'm about to mention is a type of binding, but nevertheless, this particular rule, regulation, is given by the Lord for his own pleasure. So it's told if one wants to get the phal or the benefit or let's say shastric result of a Giriraj Parikrama, he should take bath in Manasi Ganga, then take darshan of the presiding deity of the middle portion of Govardhan, middle portion of Brajmandal is Haridev, who is the deity of Govardhan, and then do his Parikrama. And being the Sambandha Gyan Acharya, being the the acharya of teaching the basic foundational knowledge and principles of bhakti, our Sanatana Goswami Pad, he actually lived right at Manasi Ganga. And right next to Chakaleshwar Mahadev temple, he had his kuti there, taking shelter of Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam Yatah Shambhu. Sanatana Goswami was a very... Of course, he's Labhanga Mandri, he's a Kayavyua Palidasi Sakhi Mandri of Radharani, Nitya Siddha, directly expanded Parishad from Radharani's very Ladini Shakti Sarup, not an ordinary jiva or anything of this world. However, from his own devotional example, he showed an intense appreciation for and understanding of the position of Lord Shiva. Wherever he stayed, of course he was wandering here and there quite a bit, more than anyone. He was wandering around Brajmandal more than any of the Goswamis. That was his seva and his liking, but mostly his seva, to search for the Leelastalis, Lupta Leelastalis, the hidden secret Leelastalis, and to spread Krishna consciousness amongst the residents of the time 500 years ago. But he would occasionally stay in different locations. In Vrindavan he stayed at Dwadasa Ditya Tila on the banks of the Yamuna, which is near Sringarbhat and Sevakunj. In Gokul, he was staying in Gokul, and Mahavan, Brihadvan, and Mahavan, he was staying in Gokul, right near, very within a few meters of Krishna's Janamstan in Gokul, Yashodanandan. He had his gufa there, Sanatan Goswami's gufa, his cave. And he did bhajan and madhukari there. Sometimes in Mathura he did madhukari. He went to Kamyavan and he did bhajan there in Kamvan, or Kaman, they say Kaman now, Kamyavan. Wherever he was staying, he would always, every day, go and take darshan of the prominent Shiva Linga or Shiva temple or deity near his bhajan kutir and offer prayers there and pray to Lord Shiva to reveal the holy Dham and to show the Leelastalis. So every day he was going, when he was in Vrindavan, every day he was going to Gopishwar Mahadev temple. Gopishwar is one of the four Shiva Lingas established by Krishna's great grandson Bajranav, established four Shiva Lingas in Brajmandal. Bhuteshwar, Kameshwar, Gopeshwar, and maybe Nandeshwar, I forgot the other one. Bhuteshwar and Mathura, Kameshwar and Gopeshwar, I think Nandeshwar. Sanatan was going every day to take darshan and pray. When he was living at Manasi Ganga in Govardhan, he was right next to Chakaleshwar Mahadev, a very old deity. Maybe that was also the one established. So he would do puja and worship. So he lived there, he bathed in Manasi Ganga, took darshan of Haridev and did his parikrama. And of course one day Krishna appeared to him and said, "You're very old now, I'm giving you one shila, personally giving you one shila. I'm standing on this shila, my footprint isn't here, and my lagudi, my stick, and the hoof print of a calf. I think his flute is also there. His right footprint, I forget. One footprint is there. You simply walk around the shila, and that'll be equal to a Govardhan Parikrama." And that shila is in Govardhan, it's in the Damodar temple in Vrindavan. So this is Govardhan, he's very special. So the gopis are doing the same thing. When the gopis go on Parikrama, what do they do when the gopis go on Govardhan Parikrama? Radharani says, "Hey Sakhi, let's go on Govardhan Parikrama. Let's take bath in Manasi Ganga, let's take darshan of Haridev, and then do Parikrama." Mahaprabhu did exactly the same thing. You can read in Bhakti Ratnakar, chapter 5, about Lord Chaitanya coming to Vrindavan. And also in chapter 17 of, I believe it's Adi Leela, Lord Chaitanya coming to Vrindavan, he also did the same thing, bathed in Manasi Ganga, took darshan of Haridev and did Govardhan Parikrama. So we do something similar. Right? Then the desires we have held long in our hearts will be fulfilled, because it's said if one performs his Govardhan Parikrama in this way, then all his desires will be fulfilled by Giri Govardhan. Giraj Dharanaki. Even though the attainment of the wealth of prema is extremely rare, Giraj will give some of it to us. "O Sakhi, we want to touch Priyatam Shama Sundar's chin and talk to him. It is so frustrating that we cannot talk with him. What to speak of render direct service to him? Just look! Giriraj becomes ecstatic by the touch of Krishna's limbs as Krishna climbs upon his body, and one can easily see his ecstatic sentiments. such as tears, interpolation, and perspiration. In other words, Radharani's looking at Govardhan Hill, which is a mountain of stones. It's a collection of stones. And she's saying, look. She's saying, look. Do you see? There's the hair on the body of Govardhan standing on end. Do you see that? Govardhan is crying tears. And Govardhan is perspiring. So is that logical? You're saying yes? Does that make sense?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
Have you ever seen a rock? Have you ever seen a rock with its hair standing on end? Have you ever seen a rock with hair? Have you ever seen a rock perspiring? And somebody who's real clever will say, yes. In Badrinath, there are certain rocks that perspire when winter goes to spring. And they give off Shilajit. And when the rocks perspire, they give off a black tar called Shilajit. Shilajit is an Ayurvedic medicine, which they Dabur markets in tablets. Of course, they're gelatin tablets. Dead cow tablets. They take dead cows, make gelatin, and they put this Shilajit inside. And Shilajit is an aphrodisiac. It's a stimulant. And it's also creates longevity. It's a perspiration from certain rocks. That when it's very cold, and then the seasons change from very cold, winters comes to spring, then they ooze out this perspiration. You ever put cold water in a glass in the summertime, a metal glass, and see some vapor come, some drops of water? So it's temperature differential. Warm air temperature, cold water, and the glass. And so same thing. So someone says, yes, I saw rocks sweating. But generally rocks don't perspire. And do rocks cry? Have you ever seen a rock crying? No. But the gopis have. The gopis see Giriraj like this. So is that sanity or is that insanity? It's called Divyonmad. Divyonmad. Divya, transcendental, spiritual, divine. Unmad. Uttamada, the highest pitch of nuttiness. Mada means intoxication or crazy. It means to be crazy. But they're seeing that. And then the gopis say, yes, but what do you mean? Don't you see the grass growing on Giriraj? That is his hair standing an end. The humidity is his perspiration. Just like now, it's 90% humidity. So we're perspiring, and that humidity is Giriraj's perspiration. Humidity means the water in the air, right? And the waterfalls falling on Giriraj, or falling from Giriraj, are his tears. Moreover, Krishna also receives pleasure by sporting on Govardhan's body and performing pastimes there. Having seen all this with our own eyes, we Sakis do not have even the slightest doubt that Giri Govardhan is Haridas Varya, the topmost servant of Hari. So this is Haridas. He is considered the greatest. Of course, without any familiarity with Bhagavat Tattva, then all of this doesn't seem so significant. But if one has studied Bhagavat Puran and other Vedic literatures, he will see that this term, this is a specific term, Haridas. There's a specific term called chief minister, or what's it called? Pradhan Mantri. Pradhan Mantri means PM, Pradhan Mantri, Prime Minister. So that's one person and one post in one country. Haridas is a title. In the Bhagavad Puran, there's only three devotees that are mentioned. Many devotees are mentioned. So many hundreds of devotees are mentioned. Different caliber and levels and types. Karma Mishra Bhaktas and Gyan Mishra and Shuddha Bhaktas and Vaikuntha Bhaktas and Ayodhya Bhaktas and Vrindavan Bhaktas and so many different kinds of devotees. The Devatas are there. They're Karma Mishra Bhaktas, and Indra, etc. And all the different cantos of the Bhagavatam. In the Sanskrit shlokas, there's 18,000 shlokas. There are only three times in 18,000 shlokas is the phrase Haridas used. Once it's used in relation to Yudhisthira Maharaj of Panchpandava, Panchpandava Yudhisthira. The verse says in first canto, so-and-so Yudhisthira Haridas. That Yudhisthira is a great devotee, one of the great devotees of the Lord. He's Haridas. And the second time it's used is in the 11th canto. I believe it's 11th canto. It says, Uddhava Haridas. That Uddhav, Krishna's minister, is part of the Yadava Leela amongst the Yadavas in Mathura, briefly in Vrindavan, and also again in Dwarka. Maybe it's 3rd canto. I think it's 3rd canto. Uddhava is mentioned as Haridas. That's 2 out of 18,000. And the third one is here in the Venu Gita, spoken by Radharani, chapter 21, verse 18. Hantaya madrir avala haridasa varyo. That Govardhan is also called Haridas. So these are the three verses, the three personalities, two of them human beings, one a rock. So here's the competition. Two humans versus one rock. This is the Olympics. There's one North Indian, and the North Indian collegiate team is Yudhisthira. And then from the Dwarka team, you can say from the UP team we have Yudhisthira. Haridas Yudhisthira. From the Dwarka team we have Uddhav. And then from the UP team from Brajmandal we have one rock. So these three are having Olympic competition. These are the three Haridasas. So they're fiercely competing for the crown. Who will be awarded the best, given the crown, and the best of the crown jewel of all the bhaktas? So it looks like the rock is going to win. So the rock defeats the two men. So they're all dasas, they're all called Haridas, but only one. In the 18,000 verses, only one of the three is called Haridas Varya, which means he is the best. He is the ultimate limit, the quintessence, the zenith, the topmost of all. There's hundreds of devotees in Bhagavatam, only three are Haridas. And of the three Haridas, only one is Haridas Varya. He's a rock. But is he a rock? No, he's Bhagavan. He's Krishna. He's simultaneously devotee and the Lord, Bhaktan Bhagavan. He's Giriraj, the devotee, and he's Giridhari. And he's Govardhan Nath, Krishna Bhagavan. Let's hear about these Haridasas. Yudhisthira accepts Krishna, who is the supreme absolute truth and fully independent, as his intimate friend, and he serves him lovingly in the mood of Dasya Bhav, and Sakya Bhav, and Vatsalya Bhav. It's a mixture. He has a mood, because he's older, he's quite a bit older than Krishna. So he has a mood of protection and nourishment and care, of Vatsalya, parental affection. And he has a mood of friendship and equality, but then he has a mood of subservience also. He ultimately carries out the will of the Lord, although sometimes with hesitation. Ashwatthama, listen, Yudhisthira. Now it's Kurukshetra. I want you to say something. Ashwatthama is dead. Oh my Lord, I can't say that. That's a lie. Ashwatthama is not dead. But if we say Ashwatthama is dead, then Duryodhan or Dronacharya rather will become very upset and lose his spirit to fight, and then you'll be able to defeat them. I can't say that. So then Krishna, all right, you say it and we'll cover it. So then he said, but because he hesitated to tell the truth, then Yudhisthira's chariot no longer became celestial, because he was blessed by Indra or someone to have a celestial chariot. And celestial beings and celestial chariots, they don't touch the land of earth. Their feet never touch the ground. And if you ever see paintings of Narada Muni, he's always like standing in space. He doesn't actually touch the terra firma of the earth planet, because he's a celestial. At least that's supposed to be depicted that way. Yudhisthira had been given this benediction, as Hanuman got so many different weapons and armors and things, so did Yudhisthira. He was given a celestial chariot, which means unlike other ordinary chariots of everyone else that go on the freeways and byways and whatnot, his chariot was like an airship It's not like an UFO or something. It wouldn't touch. But then when he hesitated to speak a lie for Krishna's service, then his chariot became terrestrial and no longer celestial. So he served. You know, he became a servant of the Lord, but reluctantly. Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. So because there was some elephant named Ashwatthama. Uddhava, the second Haridas, became Krishna's messenger, and he went to Braj to console Krishna's parents, as well as the Brajaramanis and other Brajvasis. When Uddhava saw the extreme prema of the gopis, he became astonished, and he realized that the excessive glories of the dust of the gopis' feet, the Charanareno, Gopi Charanareno. At that time, when he was in Braj, and Uddhava Kyari, and he had met the gopis with the message from Krishna, the letter from Krishna, then he had so much appreciation, he offered so many prayers to the gopis. And he said, I only want to take birth, Gomalata Oshadinam. Let me take birth as a creeper or a plant or anything in Braj, so that the dust of your feet, my dear gopis, will be sprinkled on me. And as a result, Uddhava's desire became fulfilled. Where did he become a creeper? In Nandagram, in Yavat, in Gokul, in Vrindavan, in Barsana. Where did he become a... He said, I want to become a creeper. Where did he become a creeper? Govardhan. He became a creeper at Govardhan. Where in Govardhan? It's a big area. Kusum Sarovara Ki Jaya. Uddhava Baitak Ki Jaya. So Uddhava Baitak is the place where he became grass at Kusum Sarovara, so he could get the dust of the feet of the gopis. So there he's taking shelter himself, right at Govardhan, because he understands that Giriraj is Haridas Varya, and that the gopis come to do so many pastimes there. So he's by taking birth in Giriraj's lap near Kusum Sarovara as a blade of grass, still he was unable to serve the Brijvasis as Giriraj does. Giriraj is Haridas Varya, because he fulfills all the needs of Krishna and the Brijvasis. He serves Krishna and his companions, the coward boys and cows, with his body, mind, wealth, and very life. Giriraj sacrifices everything to satisfy all of their inner heart's desires. Giriraj offers the Brijvasis pure, cool, sweet drinking water of Manasi Ganga and other sarovaras, tasteful fruits and roots to eat, flowers and red mineral powders for decoration, jeweled seats and beds, precious stones for lamps and mirrors, and well-adorned caves and kunjas for resting and playing. And he offers nutritious grass and plants to the cows. We say Govardhan, we say Giri Govardhan. Go means cow, that means many things, cows are sensitive. But Vardhan means to nourish, to satisfy. So he nourishes all the cows with his fresh, tasty grass. Krishna's beloveds relish very confidential pastimes in the caves and groves. And Giriraj is very expert in rendering all these services in Sringhar Ras. Radha and Krishna enjoy many wonderful Nikunja Leelas there, inside and upon Giriraj's body, so as not to disturb these confidential pastimes. He has permanently assumed the stationary form of stone. That's very interesting. In this way, the gopis lavishly praise Giriraj Govardhan upon seeing the many kinds of services he renders to Krishna. Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. So it's quite appropriate that on this first day of our Govardhan Parikrama and Kartik Maina, we were able to hear the glories of Giriraj from the mouth of Srimati Radharani. She certainly can glorify devotees, but obviously the higher the class of devotees, the more expert he or she becomes in glorifying other devotees. Because they have a phrase in English, it takes one to know one, and it takes one to praise one. If you're a devotee, then you can praise another devotee. Because devotee means free from envy. Unless you're free from envy, you can't truly praise another person. So a true devotee is free from envy. So therefore, because by glorifying a devotee, you're glorifying Krishna. Because what is it that you're glorifying in the devotee? When you're glorifying a devotee, you're glorifying the presence of Krishna in that devotee. So ultimately, when you're glorifying a devotee, it means you're glorifying Krishna. And that is the goal of life. Uttama shloka, to always glorify Krishna. And in any way, form, because Krishna has unlimited forms and presentations.